According to Education Week, 48 states have ordered or at least recommended school building closures for the rest of the academic year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Only Wyoming and Montana don't have those statewide orders. In Wisconsin, schools have been closed since March 18th. As a result, students and teachers are trying to do their roles online. Parents are taking on more of a teaching role. The idea here is to keep people at home and limit the spread of the virus. But our next guest says these closures may prove to be a big mistake and says schools need to reopen with safeguards in place. Deborah Saunders is the White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Her columns for Creators Syndicate appear in newspapers nationwide. Deborah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Sure. Make the basic case. Why do you think we're going to regret these lengthy school closures?
So I've sat in on so many of these coronavirus task force meetings in the briefing room. I've read through the criteria, and when governors across the country were closing schools, the CDC was not recommending that they do it. Everybody talks about following the guidelines. In fact, they have these decision trees where they were saying this is what you should do if something happens. And basically, if there's no spread, don't close the schools. If there's moderate spread, don't close them. If there's heavy spread and if somebody who has been infected has been in the school, close it for 2 to 5 days and then open it. So this was never anything that was intended. Why? Well, for one thing, we know that children don't get coronavirus the way adults do. It's not as much of a threat to them. But also, a public education is important. Being able to read, being knowledgeable, that's the key to everything about life in this country for anybody, anywhere. And the idea of closing schools down, it didn't occur to them. It was just something that was done by officials across the country because they wanted to look like they were doing something.
What we've learned since then, though, is this whole thing about the asymptomatic spread. Somebody might be carrying it. You can't tell. They might have no symptoms at all. So in hindsight, is that a case that, hey, maybe this was the right call to slow down the spread?
I can't understand. Well, I mean, and by the way, we know that this has happened in school districts with no cases or really low cases in their communities. Why would you close the school for that? But also, I know that this is a horrible disease. It's done horrible things to people. I don't want to sound as if I don't care about that. But it's also a horrible thing to take away a child's ability to read. And their kids, they're never going to be in the third grade again. And what happens if they don't learn how to read? So I think it's what I would like to see happen, and I think it is happening across the country in different places. You start to open the schools up. Parents who don't want to send their kids to school don't. And parents who want to send their kids, they have a place where their kids can go. And obviously, they're going to be really careful, social distancing, lots of hygiene, lots of hand washing, finding different ways to use buildings so that kids are not too close to each other. But, I think that the thing that just has blown me away from the beginning of this is that people just didn't really talk about the consequences. And I think it's because the people who are the decision makers, they're knowledge workers, right? They're like you and me, and they know that they can take care of their kids somehow from home. Won't be easy. They can do it. Well, what happens if you're if you're a single mom and you're a grocery checkout person? What does that do for you? What if you're a nurse? There are a lot of people who have had a lot of trouble dealing with this, and the idea that they can teach their kids, poor people, people who came here who are immigrants and really don't know English well, what are they going to be able to do for their kids? And what's astonishing to me, I would go on to these think tank discussions they'd have about education, and they'd have these discussions about making sure that people had better laptops and 5G, but they weren't talking about what this is doing to kids, and they weren't talking about what this is doing to kids who are on the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder.
We're talking to Deborah Saunders, White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Her column for Creators Syndicate appears in newspapers around the country. We're talking about a piece she wrote making the case that we should be getting kids back into school sooner, not later, questioning the decision, at least in many places, to close schools in the first place. Do you see, at least now that the decision has been made, we've got guidelines from the CDC, do you see schools trying to make sure they're reopening safely whenever that reopening might happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what's happening. There is now pressure on lawmakers to open things up. But I do think that there has to be more. It scares me when I hear some schools talking about not opening the doors, the actual doors, until September. What is going to happen to young kids who have completely missed everything? We used to hear them talk about how summer would, a lot of kids, they'd after 2 months at home, they'd come back to school totally unprepared. What do you think this is going to do? And how are we going to make up for it? You know what? It blows my mind. Two words I can't believe I don't hear. Summer school. Why aren't we talking about opening up the doors and letting some kids come in and have remedial learning for what they missed? Why is it that it's okay with people that this has happened and that children are being left without an education when statistically there's not a good reason for it? And again, any parent who doesn't want to send their child to school, there may be comorbidity in the family, their child may have pre-existing conditions. Obviously, you want to do everything you can to accommodate them. But the idea that I'm not also entirely sure kids are safer. I know when I was a teenager, I wouldn't necessarily be doing what I was supposed to do during a shutdown.
Let's bring on a caller now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I know this is a briefer segment, so I'll try to keep my comments short. I think the guest is being disingenuous in the basis for her claims, considering what she's saying about CDC guidelines, very carefully choosing her timing. CDC guidelines when everybody was closing schools, blah, blah, blah. I think the point and the claims are disingenuous. She's talking about missing third grade and not learning how to read. Kids learn that in kindergarten and first grade. I think the concern and the claims are made on false pretenses and with false sympathies and are just to further a political agenda. This is
Michael, I'm going to jump in because we do just have a couple minutes left. Michael, saying the CDC has updated claims and better safe than sorry, even if it means we're losing a couple months of education, I think, Deborah.
Well, I mean, the first couple months, the CDC was not calling for schools to be closed down across the country. You know, there are a lot of kids who go to school every day and don't know how to read. About 35% of kids in school read it, in fourth grade, read at grade level. So it's not a perfect system to begin with. And I think you're going to find that number is going to skyrocket when kids actually go back to school on a regular basis.
And in our last couple minutes, Deborah, what would you like to see if there's a resurgence of COVID in the months to come, say in the fall? What kind of conversations do you want to see happen before, you know, the next school closing decision or not is made?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand why governors did this, but we were all panicking. We were scared. And of course, people want to protect their children. But I think that there ought to be a way to accommodate people who want to send their kids to school. At the very least, and that instead of just deciding everything has to be closed, I think there has to be a way that we can try to accommodate people who want their kids to go to school, and you know, basically that's it. Obviously, you want to have hygiene practice, you want to have social distancing. I'd say to the extent you can have kids be outside where it's really much harder to get the virus, do things like that. But instead of just panicking and running, think of how you can move forward and don't leave kids behind. You know, there was a report that A Nation at Risk that came out in 1983, and the people behind it talked about how if a foreign power had done to American schools what has been done to American schools in terms of mediocre education, we'd be up in arms. Well, we've heard the phrase, this is the invisible enemy, but I think our panic has been an enemy, too, because I just don't think it's good for kids.
Leave it there. Deborah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Deborah Saunders, White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Her columns for Creators Syndicate appear in newspapers around the country. We talked to her today about why she says it might have been a mistake for schools to be closed long-term during the COVID-19 pandemic. You can share your thoughts and your perspectives in your local district, whether you're a student, a parent, a teacher, or administrator. Email ideas@WPR.org. Or as always, you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. What are you hoping to see as schools start to reopen, possibly in the fall?